I'm Johnny Smith.
I'm Richard Porter.
Welcome to Smith & Sniff, a podcast where two friends talk about cars and also model railway danger. Do you know, I've woken up this morning with a song in my head, and I've already played it three times. Really, I'm so down with Knights in White Satin by the Moody Blues. Just think it's a stunning song. I've heard it three times now, and unfortunately, my wife can't stand it. And I just don't understand how anyone can not appreciate that track, so I've had to stop listening to it. Come on, Rich.
I'm going to have to go and listen to it.
Oh, it's brilliant.
It's a long time since I've heard it, but I feel like it's syrupy, isn't it?
It's amazing. It's one of the only songs I can think of which is a fully acceptable flute solo in it. Solo flute is allowed beyond this point.
Okay. Yeah.
Just listen to it at some point today. It's just bloody excellent.
See, the problem I have with that song is that I know it's nights, N-I-G-H-T.
Yes, yes, evenings.
A bit after day.
Yeah. Yes.
But I always think of it as nights, fuck me.
What, in armour?
K-N-I-G-H-T, yeah, knights, as in off the round table.
What, so you're swapping armour for a silk robe, as in the satin robe?
I just can't get past it. Knights in white satin, you just go, well, what, are they off duty? And if not, they're going to get fucked up. Or they've got it on under their armour, in which case, I don't know, is that a bit
weird? It's Under Armour. It's Under Armour. It's way before the fitness brand began. Under Armour was also known as satin. They're just wearing a satin onesie that stops any armour-related chafing. That's all it is. Knights in white satin. They're born fighters, but they're just having a bit of a tactile undergarment. That's all it is.
Do you think that the knights went down to Ye Sports Directy and just got whatever was on the offers?
Three
white satin workout tops for a fiver.
Oh, what, so generic?
The Under Armour.
Like generic sports socks, which is just a white with the word sport written on it with no other description. You're like, well, I just need to know what sport we're talking about here.
Sorry, with what written on it?
Sport.
Just, I don't know what you mean.
Sport. What, you don't know about generic sport socks?
I think. Do you mean sport?
Oh, gosh, I'm so sorry. I properly stood in a cow park there, didn't I? I'm really sorry.
Sport.
Okay.
Sir fucking sport. Sport.
We've forgotten our own catchphrase.
It's bad, isn't it?
Speaking sort of retail, did you see last week that Jeff Bezos had sort of resigned from Amazon?
What's the reason?
Well, he sort of stepped aside from the top job, but he sort of hasn't at the same time. I don't quite understand it, but I was just amusing myself when I was out walking this morning by thinking of how he actually resigned about 3 weeks ago, but he dropped off his resignation letter in the accepted Amazon style by pulling up very quickly in a nearly new Vivaro. Handbrake's going on before it's even stopped.
Oh, it's on three
he
clicks.
Leaves the door open.
Yeah.
Door leaves the driver's door wide open and the engine running while he ran up to Amazon headquarters and put his resignation letter in a bin, which he later put on the app was the safe place. Because
because the bin is so safe.
Yeah, and then Amazon found it, and it was all wet.
Did the people at the landfill site find it? Because obviously it had been put in such a safe place, it got immediately returned to refuse. And just like my laptop, etc. That's good old Jeff. Well, he's got more money than anybody could even count. So I do struggle to understand what would kind of drive him to continue. Hmm. I admire people that kind of want to put their money to good causes, and it sort of becomes ridiculous, doesn't it? You know, Mr. Facebook dude, Mark Zuckerberg, he not to be confused with Danny Zucker. What was John Travolta's character in Greece? I was going to say Danny
Zucker. Was it? I don't know. I can't remember.
Danny Zuko.
Danny
Zuko?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, obviously, Mark. I was going to say Danny Zuccaro, but Zuccaro was some sort of synth. Was he some sort of?
He
like,
was the Senza Una Donna duet with Paul Young.
Oh yeah, Kia Sedona with Paul Young. Yeah, it was a lovely track. Really enjoyed that.
No, Kia Sedona was by the Fun Loving Criminals, I think. Kia Sedona.
Kia Sedona. No,
a friend
more
of mine once
in my
sort
life.
Of met Jeff Bezos in a really bizarre way. Because he went to one of his rocket launch sites, sort of on official business, but then there was like the sort of maximum security area, and they said you can't come in here unless you've got a US passport, because we can't security check foreign passports or something.
What, and Jeff just reached passport. Into his back pocket and said, I've got a couple to choose from, what do you want?
Well, Jeff wasn't around at this point. There's no Jeff. There's okay. Just some people. And there was a sort of imminent, but not quite imminent, rocket launch or something going on. And then my mate, somehow, by sort of moving through in a crowd of people, managed to get into the maximum security area without having his details checked, which in itself, I suppose, is a bit of a worry. But then he shat himself that he was going to be busted. And the next thing, Jeff Bezos came into the room and started saying hello to people, and my mate panicked. And when Jeff Bezos said, hey, good to meet you, my friend did a crap American accent.
What?
Went, hi! So that he didn't get busted for, in fact, not being American. It's okay, there's always sort of a part. He didn't have a conversation doing an accent.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh. I would have just introduced myself as AstraZeneca. I've just gone, oh yeah, I was educated in America and I was born here, but I've got a British accent because I don't know, my parents are global entertainers, and my name's AstraZeneca. I was thinking the other day actually about the names of vaccines or companies behind very, very impressive vaccines. They all sort of sound like fledgling supercar companies or bad special editions that never quite made it, don't you think?
AstraZeneca
was obviously a speedster Vauxhall concept that was made by that company that I've just now totally forgotten the name of, that's always at the Geneva Motor Show, where they turn, I don't know, Porsche Cayennes into hovercrafts and stuff.
Rinspeed,
yeah, so the Rinspeed will have done the AstraZeneca completely. And the back bumper, at the press of two solenoids, the back bumper comes off and turns into a jet ski, and that nobody ever wanted or uses. Yeah. And then what would be the other one? You've got the Pfizer BioNTech, obviously.
Well, there's Novavax now, isn't there? Which is definitely
Novavax.
A terrible 70s kit car.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah.
Or a slightly implausible sounding bad guys organisation in one of the worst Bond films.
Oh, it would be. Well, Drax would obviously run Novavax, yeah. And you just go, well, hang on, that just doesn't sound believable. Oh, it is. It's totally. No one would ever suspect it as money laundering. It's absolutely fine.
You must have read the Thomas the Tank Engine books.
No. No, I've
you
got
not?
No.
You never watched the series or anything.
I used to watch the early ones where it was real railways.
Right. Yeah.
I really appreciated the scale down. I know we had this conversation in a very recent podcast about model railways and dioramas and detail, if you're American. But I remember when my kids were very young, when Thomas the Tank Engine went from real railways to CGI.
Yes.
And aside from the fact that I was sleep deprived, I was fucking furious about it. I was really angry for weeks. I remember getting right on my high horse about the fact they've just destroyed whatever. I mean, apart from the fact that Thomas is a complete flute. I mean, an absolute
he's
spam
a dick,
satchel.
Isn't he? Yeah.
I mean, he was the worst. All the trains were basically useless. No wonder the controller was so fat. He was just panic eating about the fact that nothing would ever get delivered and no one would ever get anywhere. But no, I mean, like, Thomas was totally useless. Fat controller would go, right, the points are going to change. When they do, you're going left. He'd just go, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
You're going left, and if you want to keep your job and your siding and your space in the shed to sleep, you just go, yeah, okay, whatever, and then just immediately not do it. I mean, what an absolute asshole!
He's just saying, he's. I mean, serially incompetent. He's worse than Postman fucking Pat. And let's be honest, he should have been sacked years ago.
Oh, special delivery
service.
Fucking
Thomas and his mates are... There's a book. There's a Thomas book, which is, I think, an American-published one, because, it, amongst other things, it features a Scottish castle, and they keep referring to it as the Scottish castle. And you go, well, hang on a minute. Thomas isn't set in Scotland. It's just... I think this is just a thing that Americans might do.
So do.
They refer to a very sort of baronial old place as a Scottish castle. But it's this book is weird for a number of reasons. But at the end of it, having fucked up a really simple task, the Fat Controller, whatever he's called now, Sir Topham Hatt, isn't he? He says, I'd say it's a job well done. You go, no, it's not. It was a really simple task that they made a complete cock of. I mean, don't reward them for this. They'll never learn.
Well, he's drunk to forget, hasn't he? So just before the end of the working day, he's just put away a really large bottle of fortified wine, and he's just drunk to completely erase memory of like the total shambolic schedule
incredibly badly run rail network that he presides over. It's just
awful.
I mean, it's got systemic problems that he doesn't know where to begin, so he just opens
just
a bottle of Stone's ginger wine.
This
is the thing, actually, in this weird book with the Scottish castle in it, it becomes apparent that Thomas and his mates have fucked up early doors. And then the next page, it's a lift the flap book, and you lift a flap and it shows that Sir Topham Hatt's gone for lunch. And you go...
during a catastrophe?
Yeah. He's just in the building behind the station having lunch. You lift the flap over one of the windows and there he is having a massive banquet. And you just go, what an idle twat. But
meanwhile, like, what?
One of the trains gets the fucking helicopter to go up and have a look for the missing things. And you go, that's an incredible expense that you've now incurred for your incompetence. I can't even begin.
Well, Postman Pat's special delivery service. I mean, it's unbelievable. The guy's area, delivery area, is three villages that are possibly 10 miles in total distance. And somebody says, and it's not even that urgent, somebody says, oh, Pat, I've got a package about the size of a can of Coke that I need delivering by about 5 o'clock today. That gives you 10 hours. And he goes, I know. And look, just send the Chinook up. What do you mean the Chinook? I can cycle there and have 5 hours grace. I could do... I know what Pat does. I reckon what Pat does, and I would love it if Pat, because I think Pat changed a van to an EV at some point, and I remember the van always sort of not quite idling right. It was obviously, you know, the carburetor was wanked on it, but
yeah.
Well, I'd always love it.
I mean,
it
in
Pat
fairness,
some
all
sort
of the all of the humpback bridges were too steep, badly designed, and all the lanes are only about an inch wider than the van itself. So I mean, it's quite. I could see why he would have asked for a helicopter, because after a while, that driving must have been all right.
Well, he needs a K car, or he needs a Dakar truck, so he just goes as the crow would fly. And he'd ask Farmer, I don't know, Moustache Face, whatever he's called. He'd ask Farmer Moustache Face, he'd go, listen, I'm not being funny, I've got to deliver this can of Coke-sized parcel by five. So can I just razz straight across all your fields as the crow would fly? Look, you know, if there's a few crops damaged, I'll sort it out. Put it on my tab. I'm sure he's got a tab of damage for fences and some dry stone walls. So he'd just be like, just stick it on the tab, mate. And of course, he carries around a bloody cat with him. I mean, if he was a DPD driver or a Hermes driver, of course, he'd do the handbrake with three clicks on while you're still decelerating 15 miles an hour. And you'd open the door and the cat would immediately run away, because that's what cats would do, wouldn't they?
That's what cats do, yeah.
So he'd do a really fast delivery followed by 20 minutes of hunting and beating around bushes around the person's house trying to get his bastard cat back in the van.
He didn't write that in, because it's the kind of post-disrupting uselessness that would be Pat's sort of signature move. And then, oh, Pat, I'm glad I've bumped into you. I've got this second-class letter that I want delivering to that house you can literally see from here. Oh, OK, I'll get the Westland Lynx out. Fucking lunatic. Anyway, the
it's
reason
just
I bring
such
up
a, such such a massive waste of resources.
Maybe I can't remember what's the area that Postman Pat set in, but maybe
Glendale,
somewhere like that. It's, that's a part of LA, I think. But it's
well, maybe Pat's gone to LA now. He's so famous, he just doesn't bother with like.
Well, he hasn't made money though, has he? Because he's He just spunks it all away on unnecessarily complicated on hovercrafts and expensive and stuff hardware.
To deliver a collection of thimbles.
Oh, Pat, it's my cousin's birthday a week on Wednesday. I wondered if you could deliver this card to us. Certainly, I'll get the Ekrana plan out. Fuck's sake. Anyway, the reason I bring up Thomas the Tank Engine originally was
because, don't get me started because, on Thomas. He's such a stroker. Or a stoker, I suppose, if he's coal-powered. Absolute stoker.
Thomas, you know the location where Thomas the Tank Engine is set is on the island of Sodor.
Sodor, which I always thought was Sodder.
The island of sodomy. But then all of the... It's like it's the worst made-up names place ever. Like all the locations, what are they called? Like Knapford Station and...
Yes.
Tidmouth, Vicarstown. They all sound unconvincingly made up. There's not a realistic sounding name amongst them. They're like things like the Roy of the Rovers or something. They just go, none of these are real towns. There's nowhere called Sodor in the UK.
There's nowhere called Sodor because it would just get ridiculed, really.
Well, it doesn't sound like anywhere that actually exists either. It's just like, it's bizarre. What's his name? Reverend Audrey, whoever invented Thomas.
Yeah.
He could do many things, like write about incompetent trains, but he absolutely could not make up a convincing place name.
No, he really couldn't. I just wanted to
raise that. The other one is I only realised from reading one of the sort of new generation Thomas and Friends books to my kids. There's a bit where Thomas again fucks it up and gets stuck in the snow, but actually then it's revealed it's not Thomas's fault because then his driver gets out and you go, I've forgotten they have drivers. So they're not autonomous.
No.
They're sentient beings trapped in the body of a train.
Oh, that's deep and creepy, isn't
it's
it? With
really,
the coal.
Yeah.
So there's a brain in front of the coal boiler.
The very hot coal boiler, yeah, but they don't have any control.
Who's
seemingly.
The one that looks... One of them's got a face just like one of the people from Gogglebox. what's the really big train that's just cross all the time?
Gordon.
Gordon. Is he the fast one? Is he the express?
He's a big blue fucker, yeah.
Okay, well, Gordon's face is very similar to one of the, not presenters, whatever you want to call them, characters on Gogglebox, if you ever watch that. He's always sitting next to an old woman in a static caravan, that one, yeah.
Oh yes!
Do you know they've got almost identical faces?
Just
thought I'd put that out there.
Hadn't spotted that.
Yeah, there you go.
Good. Well, that's that cleared up.
Incompetent steam engine idiot.
Drifted away from the shore again, but I wanted to thank everybody who has sent in suggestions for what my next family car should be.
Still,
yeah. Like 3 or 4 weeks, and this is still rolling. Not just rolling, but rolling good. I don't want to say please stop because they're quite amusing. Some of them. I'll tell you what is probably the most commonplace suggestion. Is the Mondeo ST220 estate.
Okay, yes, I know. Probably very cheap now, I would have thought.
Well, yeah, so I'll give you an example. Ben Payne, who is one of our Patreons, has written in. It's a really good message because he said, I got ready for a job interview the other day by listening to one of your podcasts. It put me in a great mood and I got the job. So,
oh, well, we'll have to take that. We'll take that one.
We don't
well done, Ben.
Praise,
that's
yeah,
lovely.
Cheers, well done on the job, Ben. I don't think it was down to us, but, you know. We'll take that nonetheless. But yeah, he says, my suggestion for Richard's new family car is a Mondeo ST220 Estate. There are two nice ones on Auto Trader, one for about $2,000 and one for about $4,500. Worth looking at the 2K one, just because the dealer selling it seems to specialise in left-hand drive exotics with red interiors, like a budget Sultan of Brunei.
So what?
I will go and look that up, Ben. Thank you. Thank you for the thing. A few Subarus do quite well as well. In suggestions.
Oh, yeah, a Legacy or a Forester.
Yeah, so, I haven't bought anything. I'm not sure I am going to buy anything soon. I don't really need to. But
You don't need to. No.
I don't need to. Well, we're not going anywhere. It's weird. So I will just read out... a chap called Tom Gorton emailed, and he said, Richard, why don't you get a transit sports van and run the engine on Brutes, which will give an amazed smell and won't cause pollution, so you won't get charged for emissions.
Bloody, can you imagine that? That would be amazing. I've still got some Brute. It's amazing. I mean, like, £5 worth just goes so far. It's like it's more concentrated than washing up liquid. It's just incredible. You can just keep throwing it on the neck. It's still there the next month, still there the month after. You're like, this bottle just never ends. It's amazing. I've been thinking about your dog car type scenario, which is not really... I was going to say dilemma, but let's face it, Rich, it's not a dilemma. You don't need another car.
No, it's not a dilemma. Really. Well, no, even if I did, it's not a dilemma. I don't know. Dilemma seems to over-dramatise it a little bit. It's an intriguing problem. But, yeah, people... I can't find it now, but there's another guy... suggested. I've had a few suggestions for Saabs.
Saabs are good just because I've never owned one and I kind of fancy owning one. Yeah, good call.
Yeah,
good call.
There's a guy, someone whose email just comes up as Able Mechanism, which is quite good in itself. Or actually, I won't read out their email address. Shit, I almost read out someone's email address. Their email address is quite good as well, but the display name, which has nothing to do with the address, is Able Mechanism. And then sent an email that just says Stopgap Family Car Saab Estate Edition, and then just sent me an Auto Trader link. There's four available in the UK on Auto Trader. That's the kind of cut to the chase action that I like. But someone else sent me. Sorry, I can't find the message now because I have Postman Pat competence when it comes to filing messages in a logical way.
I bet
way,
you don't. I bet you're not that bad.
No, I don't. I didn't go. Oh, I can't find. I can't find that email. I know. I'll get the auto gyro out for some reason or other.
Well, I'll speak to Julian Assange. I'll phone up Julian Assange and I'll just get him to sort out my email systems for me, and just create a slight amount of global commotion while I'm looking for one woman's letter. Yeah, let's just do that. Nice and overkill. That sounds about right, Pat. Yeah, do that.
Now. I'm going to say that I can say with some certainty we have only once had an email from a woman. I'm not saying this show's quite sort of male-centric, but yeah,
well,
I think
it is.
I think it is.
I'd say it probably is. We've had an email from a lady. That's brilliant.
Yeah, you remember that lady who emailed in about her boyfriend's birthday?
Oh, of course. Yeah,
and I think she is our lone female correspondent so far.
No, I think there's more. If there's any females who listen to this, and I will include in that ones that are forced to, maybe on journeys or, I don't know, during a walking trip, whatever we're allowed to do now. I think there's more than one female out there. There has to be. There just has to be. He
well,
says, looking up on the internet, how much snatch Land Rovers are for your dog car. XMOD, ex-NATO disposal company, just up the road from me, called modsurplus.co.uk. They don't pay me to say that, but I've just found them.
Do you know, when I ordered my Defender, I almost thought this is a silly waste of money because there's a place in Yorkshire... I can't remember what it's called, it's a Land Rover specialist, that had an XMOD. I don't think it's technically a snatch, but it was a 90 sort of Wolf spec.
Yeah.
Really tidy. Quite low miles for an ex-army one. And it had sort of all the stuff you'd want on it to make it vaguely bearable, like power steering and stuff. And it just looked fucking great. A little bit scuffed, but nice. And it was $8,000 or something back then.
Wow.
Could it have been $8,000? That seems very cheap, but I'm sure it was. I remember thinking, Jesus, that's just perfect for the money, you know.
Yeah.
And then it sold, and I so I was, you know, I got a bit giddy and ordered a new one. But I'd quite like one of those roughy, toughy sort of.
If I ever bought a Defender, I probably would buy an ex-NATO type thing.
But you wouldn't buy a Defender, would you? Because I can't imagine you ever doing that.
No, I just wouldn't. No, if I'm honest.
Something.
I buy a Nissan Patrol that goes up a dune in the UAE at 160 miles an hour because it's running on pure alcohol. Straight six supra motor. I quite like those. They're interesting.
That's funny enough. Do you know what hold their value like an absolute bastard is full-size Toyota Land Cruisers?
Yeah, they do.
Because, you know, I had that thing where I went, oh, I should get a supercharged Range Rover. And then I was like, no, I shouldn't. Or should I? I don't know. But then I was like, well, I don't know why, but my mind wandered. Because I've been looking at all sorts of stuff. Part of things, you know, people have been sending in. And, you know, I did sort of have a little look at Saabs and go, oh, quite like Saabs. And Volvos. And I suddenly was like, Citroen Berlingos. I mean, I love a Berlingo, the old-shaped Berlingo.
Yeah, I do. Good car.
They're lovely, aren't they? Big bungee ride, and they're just really, you know, loads of room in them, and you get one with the glass panels in the roof, and they're lovable cars. And quite hard to find petrol ones, which I'd kind of need to dodge the ULEZ extension, but they are out there. And I found one that was sort of like a grand or something. I was just like, oh man, maybe I should just get that. But I've been meandering all across Auto Trader.
It's nice and utilitarian, I think, for a dog car. It needs to be utilitarian.
Well, no, but the thing is, it's not just a dog car, because it also has to have my kids in it. You know, it's like it's a family car, so, you know. But yes, I mean, that's the thing. The dog could go in the back, and she'd like it, because they've got quite a low sill.
Yes,
they
do. She's
got a bad leg at the moment, so that would help her enormously. Then I meandered into Toyota Land Cruiser. So I thought, oh, those big fuck off Amazon ones. I quite like those.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're famously bulletproof as well, reliability wise. Holy crap, they hold their money. They're insanely valuable second hand.
Are there that many in the UK, though? Is it one of those ones where, because they don't sell many, that they hold their value brilliantly, or if anybody orders them left-hand drive from this country for whatever reason, instant resell overseas?
I think you probably get a few JDM ones, don't you, coming in? I mean, there's more diesels around. The diesels don't hold their value so much, but actually, there's one just popped up here. But this wouldn't be ULEZ compliant. There's one here. I was looking on Auto Trader. 1998.
ULEZ.
98. 4.7 litre Land Cruiser. Because one of the things that draws me to these is that's the V8 from the Lexus LS 400, just a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Driving a Lexus LS 400 and then one of these in quite quick succession back into like 1998, and thinking that the engine was, if anything, a little bit smoother in the Land Cruiser, which I know
that is a heck of an engine. Is it a 1JZ or a 1UZ or something
like that? I can't remember. Anyway, there's loads of diesel, well, more diesel ones out there, and they're probably a bit cheaper. But if you want a petrol Amazon.
Kills the Amazon.
Yeah, well,
because it's just so unfeasibly large.
Basically, a 20 odd year old one. This one here is 98. So the 22 year old one is $7,000. There's a 99 one here for $8,000. And then if you get to a 2005, which has been LPG converted, don't fancy that, $16,000. There's a 2007 one here. It's left-hand drive, and it's got the Lexus. It's the Lexus-branded one. God knows where that's come from. The US, maybe. And that's $25,500.
So it's for much higher residuals than a Range Rover.
Oh, way, way.
But yet cheaper to buy in the first place.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think it's the rep. I think it's just they have a rep for being really reliable, and you can run them forever, and they're tough, and they're practical. And so they're probably just really sought after, aren't they, by a certain sort of person here, you know, has a certain kind of use case, which is probably, you know, pulling a horse box or something.
Yeah.
So and because there aren't that many around, they really do hold their money.
What about Hilux? We talked about Hilux Surfs. I still fancy a Hilux Surf, even though I've got no reason for one. I just like them. I prefer them to the normal Hilux pickup. They're always Japanese imports. They're always auto, unfortunately, but hey, I'll live with that. But they look great. Just great.
Anyway, I'm not buying a car in a hurry. I appreciate suggestions from listeners. It's amusing, and it's always nice to hear what people.
I know. A perfect
I'll properly compile some listener suggestions together in a list at some point so I can read them out rather than having to forage through my email inbox and the Patreon page in a shambolic manner while we're actually recording. I do want to say one thing though about cars that I'm buying is that I'm not buying that fucking Hustler that you keep trying to persuade me to.
Oh, come on, please go hard with me. No, you're not buying
that Hustler. Your wife will leave you.
I know she will. This is the problem. But the thing is, it's a one owner, wood finish, marine ply, Towns Hustler 6 that's been in storage for the last 20 years. Sadly, the owner has passed away.
And it's probably riddled with woodworm.
No, it's not actually, Rich.
Really? Have you seen it? You haven't seen it in real life.
I haven't seen it
with
my own eyes. I'm probably going to make a video about it, but it needs to go to a good home, and I can't buy another car at the moment. But I was wondering if somebody could be the custodian of it, and I could have access to it.
So
I'm deadly serious. Unfortunately, it's one of those cars that I've nearly bought several times, but this is the bare wood one. This is the wooden finish one, the better one.
For people who don't know what we're talking about, we should explain this. The Hustler was William Towns, the guy who designed the Aston Martin Lagonda, amongst
the crazy one. Yeah.
Probably could be described as a ruler enthusiast. He liked a straight edge on a car. I mean, obviously, it was because it was of the time, but he really embraced the fashion of the time. So he did the Aston Lagonda and the Aston Martin Bulldog one-off, if people are familiar with that. Again, quite a straight-edge car.
Which sold recently, didn't it? It got bought recently.
Yeah. And then he did... he facelifted the Reliant Scimitar SS1 from... actually made it better looking. That really, you know, it was really weird looking at first with those funny wheel arches and the flip forward headlights, and he sort of smoothed it out into something a bit more normal. So he had a little side project in the 70s. He designed, and I think he also sold. Was he part of selling them?
He sold the kits. They were sort of a flat pack kit.
And it's a mini underneath.
It's two mini subframes. Yes, so a mini A-series engine with suspension and stuff, and then a subframe rear end. Or you could get the six-wheeler, which had two subframes. So just four back wheels that didn't really do anything. All the bodywork's wooden, so you could either buy the plans off him and then cut your own wood and make it all happen, or I think you could buy the kit. You might have been able to buy a turnkey car, but needless to say, you've got to look at these things. They're so of their time. But... I think with the popularity and the intrigue of the Aston Lagonda, I mean, this thing's just blimmin' bonkers and brilliant. And I just really want fancy. Like, I just feel like this one needs to... This should be our Smith & Sniff road trip vehicle, Rich. Do you not think? It's got huge sliding doors. We'll just pick the hottest day of the year.
But hasn't it? I mean, it's not sliding doors so much as the whole side is like glass
sort
or perspex.
Comes off. Well, yes, it's like a greenhouse, really. It's a wooden, marine ply greenhouse. so it's a Euro NCAP absolute nightmare, but
it
doesn't matter.
It looks like an A-level woodwork project, basically.
It looks like a buggy that would have been driven around by a man or a woman in a boiler suit in the background of a Bond film. You know, when there's lots of hustle and bustle because of the minions preparing the rockets or whatever. Yeah. It's one of them, but road legal.
Are you in touch with the person who's got this car?
Maybe.
Okay.
But I'm not buying it because you're buying it with me, and therefore that's mostly your car, therefore it's not my car.
Do you know how much they want for it? I'm not buying it, I'm just asking.
Approximately. I'm not divulging that information on this podcast because I don't want to get pipped. I don't want you to get pipped. And so...
I'm not buying it, honestly.
Okay, you're not buying it, it's fine.
I'm not buying it. What would I do with it?
Well, we cross those bridges when we come to them. On a more serious note, actually, not that I'm changing the subject quickly, but I am. I wanted to send out a memorial, really, to Sir Captain Tom Moore, who passed away at 100 years old. Last week, and obviously raised a huge amount of money for the NHS and you know, in his latter year, although he didn't know it, probably did more than ever, despite being a World War veteran. But there's a documentary that was done about him, and I think it was done by a guy that we both know who was the exec producer on Fifth Gear and worked on Top Gear in the olden days, didn't he? And and the background story of Tom Moore, the reason why I brought it up on this podcast is because I didn't realise Tom Moore was a massive fanatic of cars and bikes, and it turns out he was a bit of a wheel man.
Was he?
Yeah, he was. And in this documentary, which I think was on ITV in the UK, so I'm sure you can find it on the ITV player. It is here and there. There's various interesting anecdotes that he came up with about loving cars, and when he came home in 1945 after the Second World War, he taught people how to drive tanks. He was a dispatch rider in the jungle during the war, so he'd seen some hairy stuff. And he became a travelling salesman and used to wear out his company cars because he used to do that many miles. He used to say the brakes in Cortinas never lasted, they were terrible, and most people would turn their nose up at having a Mini as a long-distance car, a company car, but he used to love them, and he swore by the Mini. And he used to do a lot of non-stop driving to the continent for family holidays, and he'd gone on record saying he drove pretty much non-stop to Spain with his family asleep, and used to often go in a Rover SD1.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he had an SD1, and his work used to take him to Germany, and he loved the autobahns. And his words, not mine, the Rover just sat at 130 for half an hour at a time. Fantastic. So what an absolute ledge. What an absolute
bloody hell.
Ledge.
Well, I didn't think he could be any more of a thoroughly decent chap, but the cut of his jib just got even more likeable, I think. I didn't realise that.
Well, there we go. So rest in peace, Sir Captain Tom Moore. And the fact that you raised 30 million quid for the National Health Service is amazing. But also, driving a Rover SD1 erratically fast on the autobahns, probably when you weren't even late for anything, is quite cool. well done you.
Yeah, because funny enough, I knew he was a Formula One fan because some of the F1 teams did stuff with him when he was doing his walking around his garden, didn't they? So
they did. They did. Yeah. I always thought walking around his garden, I would have if I was one of these people that made ride-on miniature railways for wealthy people's gardens and stuff, or eccentric retired people, I would have just supplied him with one of those. So maybe when he has his sort of hour's break between walking up and down his garden, he could have just taken a scenic ride around the edge, around the perimeter, on one of those narrow gauge railways, which I really like, incidentally. I think they're fantastic. I think JK from Jamiroquai's got a ride-on railway.
Has he?
In his garden. I think so. He's apparently into that, into his garden gauge railways. But I mean,
always feel like they're going to fall over a bit.
Well, because they're inboard.
Yeah, don't you?
Yes, I do, very much. That's part of the thrill for me. I quite like the danger element.
Yeah, I always just go, oh, we're looking at a broken knee here if this all goes bad.
I think the kids were really young, and for Father's Day, they took me to like an open day, a stately home not far from us, and it has a steam railway around the grounds, and it's very narrow gauge. And it goes into a tunnel at one point, and the tunnel's quite long, so it goes pitch dark for a while. And I put my hands up in the air to sort of like go, woo, and I smashed one of my hands against the stone tunnel because I didn't realise how low the ceiling was. So I very nearly broke my wrist on a ride-on. I wonder if anybody who's listening has ever had any sort of moments on a ride-on railway,
Injuries sustained on a miniature railway is...
That's a thing.
Fertile ground, I'm sure. I don't know. Maybe they are in flex.
Or have you ever got into a fight at a model village? I think that would be a worthy story. I don't know how that could happen, but I'm sure
it
could.
It's such an ugly thing, a fight at a model village, if someone toppled over onto a tiny replica of, I don't know, Hemel Hempstead or something. It's not a nice thing to...
There's so much to possibly go wrong.
Oh, bloody hell. Someone sent me a link last week to a German model village place. That's mind-boggling.
I think I mean, it's the biggest one in the world.
Extremely in-depth. Yeah. Are you familiar with this, then? You probably are, because you're much more up on this stuff.
Is it in Hamburg?
I think it's Hamburg. No. It possibly is. Let me just check this. This was.
Is it the one where it's got an airport and the aeroplanes actually take off?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
I've never been.
Right.
Can we go? Can we go together?
What? In our Hustler 6?
That would take so long. Sure. We'd be so windswept and tired. We'd arrive there and just go, I'm not interested. I just want to go to
sorry, I haven't got the energy to look at tiny houses and cars and things. It's called Miniature Wonderland. That's the URL anyway. It is in Hamburg.
I've got to go. I've never been. I've seen some images. It looks just brilliant.
It does look pretty sensational.
We
it's
should
closed,
go there.
By the way. It's closed until at least Valentine's Day, by the way. So,
Valentine's Day is all I need. It's all I need. I mean, seriously. The romance of a model village.
You are determined to fly your marriage into the mountains, aren't you?
I'm not. I've
bought a Hustler 6 and we're going to Miniature Wonderland in Hamburg for Valentine's Day.
Oh, that's it. That's an instant click burr. That's an instant click burr. Has to be.
Anyway, I mean, yeah. It actually says Miniature Wonderland is closed until at least February the 14th. So, you know, you could turn up and find that it's still shut, which would be... But it is fantastic. I'll put the website into the usual show notes that I put on the Patreon page so people can have a little look if they're not familiar with this place already. But the website in itself is a time suck because you can spend ages looking at pictures and videos and all that stuff.
Have you noticed how all... I might have WhatsApped you earlier on this morning because I was just getting frustrated with it. Have you noticed how all Louis Vuitton luggage just looks awful?
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
It just looks like something, you know, when you go away abroad for the first time and you haven't got any luggage, so you borrow like your nan's suitcase and it's got an initial on it that isn't even yours, like LV. That's what it looks like to me. It looks, oh, so what's your bag? Oh, it's just a stylish bag that I borrowed off my nan. What's her name? Linda. Linda Venn. It's just shit.
It's shocking, isn't it?
Yeah, by the way, if anyone's listening who works for Louis Vuitton and you were thinking of sponsoring the Smith & Sniff podcast, what I just said then was I just did it for a cheap laugh. I don't really mean it.
I imagine anyway. Louis Vuitton was quite seriously considering sponsoring a podcast with two middle-aged men talking shit about cars, but
well, me
we've
too.
It now, so.
We have. We've trashed it.
That's a shame, isn't it? There's just something. All that crap, it just seems to... It's like, if you've actually got money and taste, you don't buy that stuff, do you? It's like, it is...
I just don't think so.
It's... I always feel it appeals exclusively to people who want to appear like they've got more money than they actually have. Well, if you've really got a load of money, you downplay it, I would imagine. But it just reminds me of also just twats on Instagram. Speaking of which, you know, the other week I said Instagram started serving me something, you know, sort of if I do the search thing.
Was it ladies in yoga pants or something? Yeah.
They've ebbed away. Maritime disasters have dried up as well, which is, you know, I'm actually disappointed. Do you know when it started? As of last night, do you know what it started?
Marital
just like
disasters.
Relentlessly serving me as if I'm fascinated by this. Davina McCall.
Oh, I got her as well.
What's going on? Do you think she's paid for this?
Is it
no, not even
promotion?
Do. She's just like
know.
Pictures of Davina McCall, a photo of Davina McCall with some random bloke, maybe her husband, I don't know. It's just just as of last night, Davina McCall, all over my random search page on Instagram. And I was like, what have I done?
I've had the same. She's been paying for that. She's been paying for that, Rich.
Maybe.
She totally has. But I get the maritime disasters thing. I do enjoy seeing containers sort of sliding around on the deck of a ship like they're just Lego blocks on a kid's plaything. There's something desperate. Because all I'm ever thinking is, oh, man, can you imagine? Inside there is someone's, like, Subaru 22B that they're importing from Japan and they've just paid top yen for it. And it's now just smashing to and fro. Which, funny enough, it does happen now and again.
Yeah.
and yeah. your car arrives and they open the doors of the container, find out it was never tethered.
Just a load of bits fall out, yeah. It's also, around when Instagram kept showing me boaty things, there are a lot of pictures of people swimming right in front of enormous container ships or tankers.
Oh, don't. It's just horrible.
Well, I mean... I don't know, it doesn't freak me out, but I discovered that there is actually a sort of documented condition in which people get, it's sort of like it's a well-known phobia / you know, sort of recurring dream where you buy an enormous boat in the water and you're swimming next to it, and it's, you know, people get freaked out by it. There's even, I discovered on trying to research this, there's a Reddit group for people who claim to suffer from this, but then I'm not sure they do, because they just posting pictures of big boats with people swimming by them.
Is it like a bit like people that really like to scare themselves by standing on the edge of the rooftop of a skyscraper or something? And
yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Oh man,
that I can't look at those because I always just think,
It's a bit winky bottom, isn't it?
Well, it's just, it goes through me because you look at the pictures of the people doing it or standing on tower cranes on a rainy day or something, and you just go,
the slippage.
Yeah.
A propensity.
You'll just do that
slippage
one last time and it will be the last time. You know, it's always the last time that it goes wrong, isn't it? So I just, I get a bit, please don't, around that. Anyway, I'm just going to change the subject because, and guess what? It's cars. I was thinking the other day about, there's certain cars that just slip through my mental net. Like, I used to sort of be obsessive about, you know, reading all the magazines and websites and everything, just knowing everything that came out. And these days, I just miss, and cars I forget exist. And one of them is that AMG GT four-door thing.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever seen one?
No. I've never driven one either.
No, me neither.
That's a very good question. It's not that old, though,
is it? Have
they
ever sold one? Oh, well, I don't know. Is it? I feel like it came out about 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, if it came out 3 years ago, that'd be quite scary. Well, I've never seen one. No, I've never seen one. I tell you what I did see the other day, which I did like, was the CLS shooting brake. I saw an AMG one the other day.
Because we used to have one of those.
What, you had an AMG CLS shooting?
Not an AMG one, no. I had
a DERV one.
I had a diesel one, but I had the V6 diesel.
Was it good?
A bit of one. Yeah, I loved that car. Absolutely loved it. We only got rid of it because my wife found it a bit big, and she drove it more than I did, because it was after our son was born. It was our first sort of practical family car.
Okay.
And it was just, it was, my wife just went, because I lied to her, because she went, isn't it really big? And I went, no. It's just an illusion because it's very low. And she soon rumbled that. She went, it's a frigging nightmare to park that in places where she needed to park, you know, in sort of congested streets, parallel parking. It was lovely. Oh, it was actually a really nice car, really nice. And maybe I should just get one of those. I wonder.
Do you know what? Just get a second-hand leggy one. Hang on, I'm going to get my mouse out.
Because I was going to
get a leggy CLS shooting brake.
What do we think? What are they going to be? They're not going to be mega cheap, though. I mean, I wasn't planning.
The shooting brake will be more than the normal one because they won't have sold as many. But then
that's maybe makes them unpopular. So they're probably maybe not as sought after because the saloon ones, you know, then people do sort of modifying to them, don't they, and put big wheels on them. And
yeah, they do
the,
look good.
The estate version is probably not in that sort of sphere, even though it's a hella handsome car. But
it is, isn't it?
It's just not quite got... I'm going to do... Here we go, lowest price. What do we think? Ooh, okay.
It can't be down to 5 yet.
No.
It can't be that low. 10...
8.5.
8.5?
8.5 for a, this is a 4-cylinder one, so yeah, it's all right, diesel. Yeah.
Is that the, what's that, the 220 or the...
Yeah, it's a 250, but it's not, it's one with Merck just fast-assing engine size. Yeah. It's a 2.1, I think, isn't it? But
flutes.
130,000 miles, looks all right. I mean, I think, and it's a 63 plate.
You just bought one? You've just mentally bought one. That's it's done. The deal's
what
done.
What is it? It's just fucking trying to mind games me into
just
buying
cars.
Just
think it. CLS brake and a Hustler 6. Puff, puff, puff. Done. The deal's laid out. It's
I
perfect.
See. I'm just going to mention the Hustler again, just if he doesn't notice. If I say it fast, he won't spot it.
Look, are you hearing the rap videos let's all the time? I'm just a hustler, baby. Look, you would actually be a hustler because you'd have the hustler. There are
8 petrol CLS shooting brakes on Autotrader. They're all going to be the AMG ones, aren't they? So
yeah, they will be. They'll be high dollar, yeah. I would have thought.
25 grand.
Yeah, that's because when we got no longer ours, a dog car, is it? I mean, eight grand's not a dog car, but
no, well, no, but family car, yes, easier to just
sort
25
of.
Grand, not really what I was looking to drop here, but yeah. The when we got ours, because it was a lease, I got all the figures and it was, you know, it's a reasonable price, and then the guy said, actually, do you know what? I think the AMG one is not that much more, and I was like. If it's not much more, I reckon I could slip this past my wife. She won't notice until she goes, why does it make so much noise and go so quickly?
Cold start, yeah.
But I was really excited about this. I was like, you know, screw it. I know we're just about to have a child, but let's get a bit giddy here while we still can, because it's fine. Doesn't matter either way. But the guy went, I'll just run some numbers.
You
then he came back to me and went, ah, yeah. You know, I said it's not much more. It's actually twice as much. And so that killed that idea stone dead.
Obviously a fantastic salesman. It's almost the same price. Actually, it's 100% more.
Well, I think in good faith, he mistakenly believed, oh, these look so good, by the way. Some of them on those sort of spoky-ish wheels. They're just lovely.
They're good, aren't
man.
They? They are good. They're very,
they
very
are
good.
I've forgotten how good they are.
Yeah. Do you know what? Why don't you just buy a CLS normal saloon and buy one of those aluminium truckman tops? No,
I'll just buy a cattle trailer and we'll drag the dog around that. We don't even take the dog that many places in the car because she doesn't like it. I mean, but the problem is there are occasions when we do need to take her.
Oh, dude, you've answered your own question. Buy for you.
I know, but
that's
the thing. It's the moments when we do need it. You know, it's like, why have you put lifeboats on that boat? You won't need them. And it's like, but when you do need them, you'll be glad that you did. So I'm sorry.
I did put lifeboats on it. Well, look, I love the fact that I WhatsApped you this morning when I woke up. Oh, no, it was in the early hours. I've just looked at the time. It was 12:30. I love the fact that I sent you that Nissan President Buddhist Temple hearse.
Oh, shit, I'd forgotten
on
about
eBay,
that.
And you didn't reference it at all. No reference.
Well, no, because I'll tell you what. It's because you don't go to bed and I do, and then I wake up in the morning and quite often the first thing I my phone pings with is a nocturnal message from you, but I'm still half asleep at this point and then I forget, and I'd completely forgotten you sent me that fucking hearse again and a Toyota Century V12,
yeah, for not a lot of money. I mean, if there ever was a perfect recession car, It has to be a V12 Toyota Century.
This is that place in the northeast, though, and I can't tell because these photos are different to the last time they had a Century, and I can't tell if they keep getting Centuries in and selling them or if it's the same Century and every so often they just wheel it to a different location, take some more pictures and put it back up on eBay because...
It's the sale of the century, Rich. where's me snare drum of a symbol? Where is it? Oh, gosh. Sorry. I'll show myself. I was going to say I'll get me coat, but I've actually got my fleece on.
Is it cold again?
Oh, it's bitter. I can't feel the ends of my fingers. Yeah.
Someone sent me a message last week after the last podcast and just went, disappointed that Johnny didn't mention how cold he was in the last show. So,
oh, really?
There we go.
I've snuck it in. In fact, I didn't. I'm going to have a slightly senior moment, despite the fact that I'm not really senior. That someone was talking about BFFs the other day, and I didn't really know what they meant, so I looked it up, and I was actually disappointed to learn what it meant. So,
did you not know what it meant?
No, not really. I didn't give a shit about it, so I didn't really think much about it. But
I'm really surprised, particularly because you've got your daughter's sort of closing in on teenagehood as well. I'm sure.
Yeah, she is.
She doesn't bandy that phrase around.
She does a little bit, which is why I just
ignored it.
Yeah, I did just ignore it. I'll be honest, I did just ignore it. But
I'll be honest with me. Did when you hear BFF, was your first thought BFF Goodrich, the tyre company?
It was that, and then I concocted my own it doesn't mean best friends forever to me. Do you know what it means?
Right.
I'm going to market this. It could be big. Barn Find Fleece. It's perfect. And do you know why? Because I'm wearing a fleece that's not stylish whatsoever right now. And I thought, you know, we've talked about these sort of dog breeders, fleeces that you can buy with images of dogs and wolves and Dalmatians and things on.
Yeah.
Well, I want a depiction of maybe a montage of barn finds on a very, very thick, lined, practical, outdoorsy, garagey fleece. BFF, Barn Find Fleece.
Barn Find Fleece. Okay.
Yeah, is that all right?
Yeah.
I do that. So that's my BFF.
Oh, man.
Do you want to be my BFF forever?
No, the forever's built into the expression.
Oh, shit, yeah. It's a bit like when people say, what's your VIN number? It's like, well, that's the VIN.
Yeah, what's your PIN number?
Yeah, what's your PIN number?
Number. There's a word for it, isn't there? There's a it's something like repetitive word syndrome, RWS, but then as a joke you're supposed to say, oh, that's like RWS syndrome. That's not a funny joke, is it? But I've heard this as a thing, apparently. Anyway, I'm sorry. I've still got Auto Trader up here, and I'm just getting horribly distracted.
Oh, you awful man!
Just now.
Well, if you want to talk about distractions, you are the one that introduced me to Fesshole on Twitter.
Oh my Jesus!
Which I had never heard of.
Yeah.
It's
the best and worst of humanity all in one, isn't it? It's extraordinary.
You just never know where it's going to go. It is a roulette wheel of morality.
Some of it is actually quite disturbing.
Some of it is
hysterically funny, and all points in between. But yeah, it's.
I'm just reading the one from from lunchtime. Can I read it out to you? It's nice and short. I was once caught short, so I had a poo in a quick-save shopping bag that I'd found. I threw it over a hedge, but it landed on the roof of a hearse that was leading a funeral cortege. The shame still haunts me.
Oh, my God.
A bag of poo onto a hearse heading towards its... Oh, my word.
There we
That's
go.
Bad, isn't it?
If ones really make me laugh, I save them. And I've just looked at the ones I've saved. And the top one is, I told my ex I was as attracted to her intelligence as much as her looks. Then she tried to throw a tomato sandwich out of a car without opening the window.
I've told you about the time... I'm sure I've told you about the time I nearly got arrested for throwing a sandwich out of a window, didn't I?
What?
We were filming at the time, weirdly. We were filming Fifth Gear in Spain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you tried to throw a sandwich out of a car window.
It was towards the end of the sandwich. It was a packet sandwich from a fuel station, a pretty grubby one, and it was a bit wet. I think it you know, and it just wasn't right. So just the last bit, not a big piece, say a piece about the size of a top of a gear knob, average size gear knob. Anyway, I wound the window down a few inches and lobbed it out without looking in. And I wasn't driving, I was a passenger. I was filming with Tom Ford, with Wookie Ford.
Hmm.
And it hit a police motorcycle rider who was riding on our blind spot, I kid you not, on a dual carriageway, and it hit him straight in the visor. And he pulled us over, he was shouting relentlessly at me in Spanish. And it all got massively out of hand. Wouldn't let us leave without giving him 300 euros.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, it was serious. Well, he was livid. He was writing out all kinds of documents, basically trying to get us bollocked. I mean, it was a very random day. We had to drive a long way in a day whilst filming. And then when we got to the other end, we were supposed to have filmed us going to a nightclub, but we got there like a Monday night, and no one had done any research and no nightclubs were open. So we had to pretend But our hotel reception was a club, and they dubbed it afterwards like muffled music, like as if we were going in. And we were, me and Wookie, I have to say, we were so tired and delirious, we just kept corpsing. We could not stop laughing, to the point where the woman on the hotel reception, who was being cropped out of the shot, she, in the end, she was like, listen, you got to go, because this is, it's not on. We've been there. We've been there.
You've got to stop coming in here pretending it's a nightclub.
We'd been there. I honestly kid you not, we'd been filming for probably non-stop for an hour, and all we had was one line each, and we just could not get it right because we just kept laughing. And we were so tired. And after the police sandwich incident of the mounted rider getting cross with me, because I had a full argument with him after about 10 minutes. But anyway, that's probably a conversation for another podcast. But I just...
Yeah,
I just,
well, we should probably...
I kept trying to look up what biodegradable in Spanish was, because I was getting really irritated about it. I say, it's not really litter, though, is it? It's a food stuff that will break down. And I think I didn't maybe understand the fact that it hit him in the face while he was riding a motorbike. So, yeah. Listen, well, thank you ever so much to everyone who listens to this podcast, especially if you're a Patreon to the Smith & Sniff podcast. It means a lot. Thank you ever so much. It's glorious hearing from you. Your comments, your emails are always highly amusing, way funnier than the stuff that we talk about.
We'll try and do another show at some point soon where we read out more of them and don't get too distracted. But in the meantime, if you've ever been injured on a model railway, or you've ever had an incident with throwing food out of a car window and the Spanish police or similar, do get in touch, smithsniff@gmail.com, or message us through our Patreon if you are one of those people who kindly gives us a little bit of cash. I have three things remaining to tell you. Number one, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. It's called The Late Break Show, and it contains many good things, including a review of his Japanese taxi, which is hilarious. If you ever want to see a car door opening at speed, that's the place to go. Number two, I have various books out. One of them is called Boring Car Trivia Volume 2 by Sniff Petrol, available exclusively on Amazon as an ebook or a paperback. And three, I haven't researched any trivia this week because I completely forgot we were recording this afternoon like a silly twat. So, I don't know, just go and look something up on the internet, and I promise next week I'll actually put some effort in. But thank you ever so much for listening. We'll be back same time next week. Until then, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
So your wife will leave you.